made possible by listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
This show is dedicated to all people who labor with love for the benefit of our community. For Radio Catskill, this is Rosie Starr. Welcome to Farm and Country, locally produced radio about rural life in the Catskills and the Delaware River Valley. On today's show, musician Steve Jacoby shares some sweet memories about fiddling around Wayne County. I share my conversation with Steve and we focus on the old-time fiddlers celebrating 45 years of performance in a variety of venues. All of that and Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report coming up on today's Farm and Country. But first, news headlines from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. UN agencies in Gaza are delivering a mass polio vaccination campaign this weekend after three localized pauses in fighting were agreed with Israel and Hamas. More than 600,000 children are due to be vaccinated after the first case of polio in 25 years was found in Gaza. Jonathan Crick is the communications chief for UNICEF in Gaza. He spoke to the BBC.
You cannot lead and implement a polio vaccination campaign in an active combat zone. It's simply impossible. Families need to be feeling safe in bringing their babies, their children to get the vaccines. But also the healthcare workers need to be able to safely reach the communities.
A standoff between Elon Musk and a Brazilian Supreme Court justice has led to the X social media platform being banned in Brazil. Brazil began blocking X overnight after the company missed a court-imposed deadline to name a legal representative in the country. The escalation is the latest move in a months-long dispute over free speech and misinformation. Tariffs or fees on imported goods are an emerging issue in the presidential race. While in office, former President Donald Trump imposed tariffs on China and other countries, and if reelected, he's promising even more. From member station WFDD, Paul Garber reports on some North Carolina goods that could be affected if that happens.
President Joe Biden has kept Trump-era tariffs in place, and Vice President Kamala Harris has not clarified her policy on those. But she says Trump's plan for more would be inflationary. Princeton University political economist Lena Mosley says more tariffs could have an effect on North Carolina's pork, soybean, and pharmaceutical producers.
You do something to protect your economy and your trade partners respond by doing the same thing. It kind of gets us into a world in which everyone's got higher trade barriers, but nobody's really better off.
North Carolina, an important swing state, went for Trump in 2020 by a narrow margin. For NPR News, I'm Paul Garber in Winston-Salem.
Exiled members of the Venezuelan Supreme Court have declared Edmundo Gonzalez as the winner of the July 28th election, and they're asking international courts to issue arrest warrants for Nicolas Maduro. Kayvon Antonio Hadari reports from Miami.
Exiled court members in Miami denounced the recent verdict by Venezuelan authorities of a victory by Nicolas Maduro in the July 28th election, since published precincts show a 2-1 margin for Gonzalez. Domingo Salgado, vice president of the court, says they must contradict the Electoral Council. The council declared Maduro the winner before counting the votes. They still have not shown the election precinct results, said Salgado. The jurists also asked the International Criminal Court to issue arrest warrants for President Maduro for kidnapping and torturing Venezuelan nationals. For NPR News, I'm Kayvon Antonio Hadari in Miami.
And you're listening to NPR News.
Each election season, political memoirs abound, doorstops that sometimes divulge more than intended.
No matter how diligently they present themselves in the most electable light, they always reveal themselves, their insecurities, their fears, their ambitions.
How to read a Politico on this week's On the Media from WNYC.
Saturday afternoon at 4 on Radio Catskill.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union. DamascusCitizens.org.
Welcome back to Farm and Country. I'm your host, Rosie Starr. On today's show, musician Steve Jacoby shares some sweet memories about fiddling around Wayne County. I share my conversation with Steve, and we focus on the old-time fiddlers celebrating 45 years of performance in a variety of venues. But first, here's Keith Hubbard with this week's Star Talk report. Thank you for joining us on Radio Catskill for this week's locally produced Farm and Country.
And Country. I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. Mercury will be at its highest point in the morning sky on Thursday. Mercury will climb to 11 degrees above the horizon before the sun's glare will cause the planet's light to fade. This will occur in the eastern sky, though it will be very low in the sky, so an unobstructed horizon will be needed to spot Mercury. It will also be at its farthest point from the sun in the morning on Thursday, too. This event is known as Mercury's greatest western elongation. Mercury's greatest elongations come in pairs about 6 weeks apart, and the pairs occur about every 4 months. Mercury is the closest planet to the sun and is also the smallest planet in the solar system. Mercury is only slightly larger than Earth's moon, and it is smaller than Jupiter's moon Ganymede and Saturn's moon Titan. Mercury has a very tenuous atmosphere that does little to trap heat. As a result, it has the largest temperature swing of any planet in the solar system. Daytime temperatures reach a scorching 850 degrees Fahrenheit, while nighttime temperatures drop to a bone-chilling minus 275 degrees Fahrenheit. On Thursday, Mercury will be visible starting around 5:30 a.m. and will remain visible for 30 minutes. Look to the eastern horizon 30 minutes before sunrise on Thursday for your chance to spot Mercury.
For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Musician Steve Jacoby shares some sweet memories about fiddling around Wayne County. We recently spoke on a warm August evening as Steve was setting up for a Friday performance at the Galilee Grange Hall in Wayne County, Pennsylvania. Over the last 30 years, Steve Jacoby and the old-time fiddlers have been part of WJFF Radio Catskill's special programming, and we welcome his good nature and generosity. Steve, before we begin our conversation, please introduce yourself. Perhaps some listeners may not be familiar with you or the old-time fiddlers.
Well, I'm Steve Jacoby, and I've been playing fiddle now for 45 years. I'll be 46 in October, as I started back in October of 1978. I fell in love with the instrument, and that's been the story since that time. And the Fiddlers became a group back in early 1979. Our first show was in Beach Lake Community Center, and I can still remember standing up there with 10 people and playing our first show. So it was a marvelous experience. And since then, it changed my life. It totally changed my life. Gave me something to focus on in life, because I was at the age, I was 22 at the time, and I really didn't have much to look forward to in life. I worked on my cousin's dairy farm, but music came along, and all of a sudden, my life was laid out before me. So it's great.
Now, you mentioned a dairy farm. We're in Wayne County. Yes. Was that dairy farm here in Wayne County?
Yes, it was. Yes. So my cousin Bob Wood, him and his wife Kathy, they're first cousins. And I started working on the farm when I was about 13 years old, working summers with haying. And then I worked for 3 or 4 years, got out of school, and came over and started working full-time for him. And I worked till 36, got in full-time with the post office, and became rural carrier for 30 years.
Okay, well, you mentioned taking up the violin or the fiddle, and I'd like to know what inspired you to do that. But while you're doing that, would you please clarify if there's any difference between the fiddle and the violin?
Sure, Rosie. It happens all the time. Every show, what's the difference between a fiddle and a violin? The honest answer is none whatsoever. It's the same instrument. Fiddle is slang for violin. It's also mainly meant for the type of music that's played on it. Violin music, you think of classical music. Violins have been around. Stradivarius made violins in the 1600s. So violins have been around a long time. The music itself has evolved. Especially you get it talking about Irish and Celtic music overall, Scottish, that has come over here. We've Americanized a lot of those fiddle tunes to make them our style, more old-timey or bluegrass. A lot of the stuff comes from over across. Mm-hmm. Fiddle music, you think of square dances, hoedowns, all that type of stuff. That's the only difference. It's just the music that's played on it. They're pretty much set up. I could take a violinist instrument and play fiddle tunes on it. So that wouldn't be a problem at all. Mm-hmm. So back when I was 22, my feed salesman was Freddie Williams. So Fred was a well-known musician, fiddle, guitar, and mainly singing. He was a marvelous, marvelous singer. So he would come up every 2 weeks to see what the farm needed. And over the course of time, we became friend, real good friends, started talking about music. At that time, I was learning to play a steel guitar for like country music. And unfortunately, there wasn't anyone really in the area to show me how to play the steel guitar. And Fred came into my place and saw the steel and actually played a tune on the steel guitar, the steel guitar rag. And I was just so impressed with that. And then we just became closer. Him and his friend Frank Tyler and their wives came up to our house, and next thing you know, I fell in love with fiddle music because Fred's music was great. He was a great fiddler, and that just turned my life around at that point.
That sounds like fun, and the inspiration, I can understand where that came from. And you said it, one of the Wayne County names here, prominent names, Tyler.
Yeah. Frank Tyler was very well known, was member of the police force in Honesdale for years and years, and played with our fiddle group for, I'm not sure how many years, into the 80s as a guitar player, and very, very good guitar player. And you know, Rosie, we had, at that time when we started the old-time fiddlers, there was 11 of us. Unfortunately, there's two left. There, me and Bonnie Beers-Bircher, she's left. But we still have 20 of us if all of us come to a show. So, you know, things happen, but the group goes on.
Yes, the group goes on, and it sounds like you're evolving as a group, which is very good because you're keeping the music alive. We want you to get to that 50th anniversary, that golden.
We'll make that.
How did you become the leader of the old-time fiddlers?
Good question. There was quite a few people before him. Of course, Fred Williams was the original MC, and he did all the leading because I was really young and I was scared to death, to tell you the truth, at 20 some years old. And then we had Andy Cavage, another great fiddler from Wayne County. He became leader of the group. And then Jimmy Rutledge from over here in Damascus area, he was pretty much leading the group, doing all the MCing. And then he told me one day, he says, from now on, you're doing all the MCing. So, and this was like at a huge show at the park in Honesdale. So I just kind of toughed it out. And next thing you know, I became the leader. And that was probably in the late 80s, somewhere around there. So almost 36, 37 years I've been leading the group. And I love it.
I understand that. When you do something really well and you volunteer, be careful. You'll get the crown.
I know. You get the crown, yeah. And the thing is with me, I'm very passionate about the music. A lot of the fiddlers, it's a wonderful hobby for them. For me, it's more than a hobby. It's shaped my life, and I love to play and get better and teach and teach more players how to play the fiddle. And so it's been, I think it'll be my legacy someday, you know?
Well, I think you're working on it pretty good. I know that one of your missions, you're a nonprofit, and one of your missions is to educate. Is that part of your education, is to teach music?
Yeah, yeah. We have various different workshops that we do over the course of the summer. Usually once a month, we have a workshop right here at the Galley Grange Hall. They're open to the public. If anyone wants to know how to play fiddle or guitar, come in and sit with us. We have slow jams. We play the music slowly. If they want instruction, we will actually show someone how to play, put a fiddle in their hands, put a guitar in their hands. That's how you get people interested in the music.
Once again, here is Steve Jacoby from the Old Time Fiddlers joining us on Farming Country. We're in Wayne County at the Grange Hall. My very first experience with the fiddlers was in this building many years ago. So it must be important. It must be a significant reason why you're in this Grange Hall.
We were always invited to come here as a benefit for the Grange, going back 40-some years. The people here were wonderful. You know, they treated us just like we're all family. And it feels like a family. Our group is a family. We know that. It's not blood ties. It's music ties. And the people that come to our shows, we feel like we all have a relationship with them also because they love the music so much. This hall is just tough to explain it, but you walk into the hall, and it feels like you're transported back into time. You're no longer in the 2020s. You're in the 1940s. You're in the where square dances were held in this hall. I can still, my late brother said he danced in this hall when he was a kid in the 40s. And so it's very, very special. And they've had some rough times over the years with raising money. So the fiddlers now have been made this kind of their hall as far as like not in name, but in our hearts. So we play twice a year. All the money goes to the benefit the Grange Hall to help keep it alive, to help maybe they're in the process of getting a roof put on. And other work needs to be done. So during the lean times, the COVID times, and we kind of helped them out as much as we could so we don't lose this building.
So there was dancing going on in the Grange Hall, but we are in farm and country land over here. What else? Do you know any of the other traditions that would take place in a Grange Hall?
4-H was a huge thing. Maybe some other Legion activities, I'm not sure. But it's a great community hall with a great open floor plan for concerts or for to have dinners. You know, they just had so many functions here. You don't find very many halls like this around. It's very rare, so let's try to keep this building alive.
And that being said, I know you do many different kinds of venues. You're outside in the park, you're in the farmers markets, and you're here in a Grange Hall, and you're also in the firehouses. That's an amazing event when you're in that large Beach Lake Fire Hall. How does that influence your performances? Does each venue lend itself to a different type of performance?
Not necessarily. We go to each show with a plan that we're going to do the music that we love to do. If we're playing in a church, we might throw a few more gospel tunes and hymns. But no, they're basically all the same music, no matter where we play at. And when it comes to where we play, people usually contact us. As we've gotten older, we've cut back on our shows. We used to play up to 18 to 20 shows a summer. We were busy about every Friday night. That's our show night, Friday night. We decided weekends were mainly meant for family. We didn't want to start doing Saturdays and Sundays because it wasn't going to work out. So Friday nights are show nights. Now we're down to about 10 to 12 shows per year. And we kind of have our favorites. And this is our second time here at this Grange. This one's for the Calicoan United Methodist Church. And then in October, we'll be back to benefit the Grange itself.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever invite other musical guests as performers?
Not for our shows, because we have so many people. And we feel it's unfair to all of our great people in the group to bring other people in and maybe steal a spot from them when it takes the whole show just to get through all the people that we have.
Yes, I'm aware of that. It's quite impressive. You do two sets, and each individual musician is highlighted. I have a beautiful memory of being in the audience because I couldn't wait to go home and tell my mom. I said, I saw a 5-year-old play the violin and a 90-year-old man. And she was so taken with that.
Yeah, that's what the music is about. Like right now we have two younger girls. One's 12, one's 13. They're both great musicians. So I can picture the music continuing on in the future. And our oldest is in 70s, somewhere around there. We have actually a bunch of people around that age. So we have a great fluctuation of ages, and it just makes for a great show.
Can you please define traditional music and talk about the instruments that are involved in that? Because I think your CDs always say you have traditional music. Now, I'm thinking of the history of this music that started in the South, but it just ventured all over the country as people traveled around.
Yeah, traditional music to us is music played on, I can just give you a list, guitar, banjo, mandolin, piano, bass, ukulele actually is part of the traditional music, although not so much with a lot of fiddle music, but more folkish, you know, ukuleles. And it all comes together, and it's all acoustic. That's the key thing. We don't have electric guitars. We have like an upright bass, and we have the only thing that's electric is our digital piano, because you can't haul an upright piano around. But other than that, we're all on traditional instruments. The traditional music is a lot of music we talked about before that came over from Ireland, Scotland, or up from the South, or from out in the West. They have swing music out there, and all kind of blends into this big bowl called trad music.
Mm-hmm. Well, does that big bowl influence dance? Do dance cultures come out of this traditional music?
Yeah, most of this music is for dancing. You know, as far as especially the Irish and Scottish, when you do jigs, reels, polkas, they dance to all that music. Mm-hmm. And over here, Canadian music is big with us. I love the Canadian music. Step dancing is so huge in Canada. And so, yeah, it's all dance-related. If you can't tap your foot to some of our faster stuff, you got a problem.
One of the reasons I love your music is because it is instrumental. And,
yes.
And yeah, my ears are so happy when things are not amplified. It just,
I know.
You could feel it in your soul when it comes through your ears. I really like mm-hmm. that. Do you think that this style of traditional music is recognized by other countries and cultures?
I think a lot of Irish and Scottish stuff is for sure. I'm not sure, like, I've gone to Canada and competed in many contests up in Pembroke, Ontario, and I have my own style that's separate from their style, but I play their tunes in my own little way of playing. And I had some of the judges say to me that one of the reasons we love you is you play differently. So I'm taking something that they're not used to hearing and kind of making it popular up there. So I think it's cross-pollination no matter where you go.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is there a uniqueness to this group, the old-time fiddlers or the fiddlers?
Oh, definitely, yes. A group of this size performing out at different shows. We're a nonprofit, so we only play for nonprofit organizations. This size, you can't find it even across the United States as far as like a group that this size will go out and perform. No, we're keeping it alive. Yeah.
Because the group is large?
I think it's large, and maybe they don't have someone that's pushing it and trying to get it out for people.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned when we were setting up that there's a difference between the old-time fiddlers and another subgroup?
Oh, yes. There's spin-off groups of the old-time fiddlers. The old-time fiddlers are the parent group, but we don't go out and play private functions. There's too many of us. So there's friends of the farmer's daughter. So there's like maybe 7 or 8, they go and do farmer's markets. Fiddling Around is a group that I started back over 30 years ago. We do private functions. My buddy Dale Teeple, who plays piano, and I have a little group, and we call that the Tune Keepers, which is what we do. We keep tunes alive. So, yeah, there's lots of little spin-off groups.
I know that there's a special event coming up in September. Not that every single concert of yours isn't special. It is. But you, a while ago, you made me aware that there's some folks headed this way in September, and we'd like to hear about that.
Sure. I'd love to tell you. April Virch and Cody Walters is coming from Kansas up here to give us a beautiful workshop and concert September 14th at the Beach Lake Fire Hall. And that's the concert's at 7:30. Free admission for both the workshop and the concert. April is a well-known Canadian fiddler from the Ottawa Valley up in the Pembroke, Ontario area, and has moved down in this area, I'm not sure how many years ago, and got involved with Nashville. But she's a champion fiddler, champion step dancer, and singer. And Cody plays guitar, banjo, mandolin, you name it. So the two of them will be helping us celebrate our 45th anniversary.
Oh, that's lovely. And how can folks get more information on this?
You can go to Facebook, our Facebook page, The Old Time Fiddlers, and there's a list on what's going on. Or you can contact me at fiddler.sj@gmail.com or theoldtimefiddlers@gmail.com.
Okay, Steve, before we close, and I want to thank you for taking the time you're setting up for this concert tonight, is there anything else you'd like the audience to know?
Just come out and support traditional music wherever, whether it's our fiddle group or some other traditional artist. Come out and let them know that their music is appreciated, because there's so many hours and hours of practice that go into that, and it's tough to play for no one. So just come out and say hello, and it'll definitely make everyone's day.
Yes, it's a labor of love on your part. And I'll say that this is a labor of love on mine. Yes, we meet on that. Yes. So I feel that music is a unifier. Do you feel that way?
Oh, it really is. I mean, tonight it's going to unify. People come in, and there'll be a lot of people here tonight that have never heard the group before. And they'll walk out of there just not realizing what music that we're capable of making with a group this size. We'll probably have 15, 17 of us here tonight playing music. And when everyone comes together, it's something that you need to be here to actually believe.
I believe it. My ears are always happy, and I look forward to listening. Thank you so much once again, Steve.
Thank you so much, Rosie, for the interview.
Well, there's nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, pick you a ripe one, don't get a hard one.
The old-time fiddlers, past and present, have offered their gifts of traditional music to all those eager to listen and perhaps learn. We sure do miss you, Donna Greger. Like most special good folks, you passed too soon. But you left some sweet sound for us to remember you. We hope that you enjoyed our show this week, with production by Radio Catskill volunteers Keith Hubbard and myself, Rosie Starr. Special thanks goes to our guest, old-time fiddler Steve Jacoby.
When I die, please don't bury me in a box in the cemetery. Out in the garden would be much better. I can be pushing up homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things money can't buy. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What would life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy. That's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Support comes from Damascus Citizens for Sustainability, fighting for clean air, land, and water since 2008, both locally and beyond. Information online at their Main Street storefront in Narrowsburg or their office in the Narrowsburg Union.